Just for a few minutes, we had a small thought of this shared in the Dom devotion, but I thought this was a good thought. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 14. And the other passage would be 2 Chronicles chapter 11. There is an interesting thought here about a master and a servant. We know who a master is. We also know who a servant is, right? And in Romans chapter 6, there is a beautiful picture of we being delivered from the master, the wrong master. Because our sin nature was a wrong master. And it says in verse 17, Romans 6, 17, though we were servants to sin, we have become servants to righteousness. So at any given point in time, the believer is under something or under someone. And that which the believer chooses to be under will begin to exercise rule over the believer. Okay? He will begin to exercise rule over the believer. When we choose to come under the headship of Jesus Christ, Christ is not only our source where we have a provision and a supply, but he also has authority. That is why he's called the head. The word kephale in the Greek means to have authority over, not just being the source, but he also has authority over. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, here we have a beautiful picture of this master-servant connection. It says in verse 17, now here is the kingdom is divided, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was the king of the southern kingdom. And it says here that in verse 17, so they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong. 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. Now Rehoboam ruled for over 17 years, but the first 3 years, it says they walked in the way of his father Solomon and his grandfather David. And the reason is also kind of, we can look back to this reason where he listened or he hearkened unto the word of a prophet by name Shemaiah and returned from pursuing after Israel to conquer or to battle against the nation of Israel. And a lot of Levites resorted unto him in the southern kingdom because Jeroboam, the king of the northern kingdom, expelled them. And Jeroboam made the lowest of the people to be the priest. So all the Levites were expelled and they come to Rehoboam in the southern kingdom of Judah. So there was like a spiritual awakening that happened in the southern kingdom of Judah, and it says for 3 years they walked. Isn't that amazing? For 3 years. Now it says here later on in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, in the fifth year King Shishak of Egypt comes against the kingdom of Judah in verse 2. Okay, in the fifth year. So 3 years they walked and Rehoboam was strong. But it says in 2 Chronicles 12, 1 and 2, he forsook the law of the Lord, and then the kingdom of Judah transgressed against the Lord. And in the fifth year, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and they had no power to withstand this king. Isn't it interesting? And again, the prophet Shemaiah comes to Rehoboam and say, because you have forsaken me, you have this trouble. And they humble themselves before the Lord. And I was thinking of that message that Pastor Brian shared about humility on last Sunday morning. And this is what they confessed in verse 6 of 2 Chronicles 12. They humbled themselves and they said, the Lord is righteous. And because of that, when God saw that they humbled themselves, he said, I will grant deliverance for the kingdom of Judah in verse 7. And Jerusalem will not be conquered by the king of Egypt, except for the fact that he would plunder the treasury house of the Lord, and he would take all the gold and shields of gold and silver, everything with him. Now look at this, verse 8. God tells, for a while, during that time, the king Shishak comes against the kingdom of Judah and against Rehoboam. The kingdom of Judah and Rehoboam will be servants to Shishak, king of Egypt. And this is the reason. In verse 8 it says, nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. Isn't that amazing? Or we can say, for that season, when Shishak is over Jerusalem and taking all the fenced cities and plundering the house of the Lord, the kingdom of Judah is going to be servants. They are going to be servants to the king of Egypt. And the reason why God would allow that is the reason is this, that God wanted them to know the difference or the distinction between what it means to serve the Lord and what it means to serve the kingdoms of the countries. Isn't it? Because 3 years they served the Lord. They walked in the ways of David and Solomon, and they got to know that God is a good master. The Lord Jesus Christ is a real good master over our lives. And the longer we serve him, the sweeter he grows, isn't it? He is the real king. He is the Lord of lords. He is the king of kings over our lives. We choose to come under his service, there is health, blessing, prosperity, restoration, healing, joy, everything associated with that master. But if we choose another master, and sometimes the way God's people understand the difference between what it means to be in the service of the Lord and what it means to be in the service of the wrong master is sometimes God allowing us to face the consequences of our own choices and recognizing, oh, that master is not a good master. Our old sin nature is a wicked master, right? The world system is a wicked master. Romans 8:12, we are not debtors to our flesh in any way to live by it, because that master is a real bad master. And this is how the process happens. So 3 years they served the Lord. Something happened in the fifth year. There was threat, right? But what happened in the fourth year? In 1 Kings 15, if you would turn there, it says in verse 23 that the kingdom of Judah built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. Can you imagine that? Under every green tree, there was idolatry. There was a practice of idolatry. In verse 24, and there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And then verse 25 says, fifth year, Shishak, king of Egypt, comes against Jerusalem. So something happened in the fourth year. 3 years they walked in the ways of David and Solomon, but in the fourth year they got introduced to idolatry and worldliness, and they became powerless against Shishak, king of Egypt. You know, the devil's plan is to allure us into gratifying our lust patterns under a certain master before we come under the tyranny of it, before we come under the cruelty of it. The Lord Jesus Christ, He gives us a circumcised ear, isn't it? A pierced ear. We hear Him, we serve Him. And that's wonderful. And familiarity, if we tend to entertain familiarity in our service of the Lord, then before the captivity, there is a time where we are drawn out. That is not seemingly a time of captivity, it is a time of allurement, where idolatry comes in, followed by worldliness, all the abominations of the Sodomites, and before we know it, the tyranny or the cruelty of Shishak, king of Egypt. Is that interesting? To be in the service of the Lord is a place of conquest. To be under another master apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, any other master, will eventually become a place of captivity for the believer. To be in the place of us, our service of the Lord, to be in the place of service of the Lord is a place of conquest. It's a place of having power against our enemy. You know, it's always better to serve the Lord than to serve our enemies, isn't it? The question is this: who is the master? Whom have we chosen to exercise rule over us, to have authority over us? And that is what will determine whether we are in a place of conquest or we are in a place of captivity. To be under Shishak is in a place of captivity, but to walk in the ways of God is a place of conquest. They chose. 3 years went well. 4th year was not a time of captivity yet, but it was a time where they were allured out through worldliness and idolatry. And then before they knew it, they came under the cruelty or the tyranny of the master, or the wrong master. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's really good to us, isn't He? He's a master. He loves us. He cares for us. He serves us. We worship Him. We follow Him. And to be in a place of having that pierced ear in Exodus 21:5 is always a place of conquest for the believer, because we have allowed the right master to rule over us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask You, Lord, that You would bless these thoughts to our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Okay, good evening. Wasn't that a beautiful song? Yeah. The presence of God is in this place. Amen. Amen. So let's turn to Romans chapter 3. And we were studying this passage for the quiz, all the Roman students. So, hasn't the Romans class been beautiful? Yes, yeah, so let's give a clap for Pastor Brian. I have personally profited much from the study of Romans and the different things which were taught in the course. So, and these 4 verses kept resounding in my head the whole night, in Romans chapter 3 verses 1 to 4. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this evening. Thank You for this song. We are not alone. You are always with us. You are in us. You are for us. Quicken us now and give us a word in season, we pray. In Jesus' name. I want to focus on this verse in verse 3. What if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? And we see here that the answer is no. Right? So the nation of Israel were given the law, they were given the circumcision, and they were given the promises. And we see that the Apostle Paul is saying that he is going into their history that they did not believe. And the question Paul is asking, okay, if they did not believe, does that mean that God's plan or program will stop? Does that mean that what God has said will stop? And the answer is no. And the first example of the faithfulness of God I'd like us to see is in Numbers 13 and 14. God tells them, I'm going to give you the land. It's flowing with milk and honey. 12 spies are sent. And we see that they look at the land. It is flowing with milk and honey. They bring grapes between the two of them. And then we see that 10 of them give an evil report. They say, there are giants in the land. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. We are not able to take the land. Whereas two of them, Joshua and Caleb, say, they are bread for us. If God has said it, then he will do it for us. And very interestingly, we see that approximately 2.5 million people side with the 10 spies with the negative report. And the question to be seen here is, what is God's point of view? Is God swayed by that majority vote? Like, does God change his mind at that point? And it's very beautiful that what the plan of God continues. He says, if you have not believed, that's fine. This whole generation will, as discipline, circle 40 years in the desert. But Joshua and Caleb will go in with the next generation. So the plan of God continued. It was postponed for 40 years. But the next generation went into the promised land because God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his word. And it does not depend whether his people believe in him or not. God is faithful to his word. The second example we can see is when Jesus comes on the earth. The Bible says in John chapter 1, he came to his own and his own received them not. He was the promised Messiah. He was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And when he came, they tell him, they do not believe in him. They say in John 8, we are not born of fornication. We are not illegitimate children. We are born of Abraham. Who are you? Right? And we see that God still continues to be faithful. And though he is rejected by the Jews, in Ephesians chapter 3, God, knowing that, God has a mystery which was hidden in God. And that mystery was the church, that you and I, the Jew and the Gentiles, would now be made one in the cross, in a new dispensation, in a new entity called the church. And now the program plans goes now to the church, where there is no Jew or Gentile in this age, and whosoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. And the promise to Israel as a nation has been postponed in Romans 9-11. Their election, their sovereignty of God has been postponed in the millennial reign, and now we are in the dispensation of the age of grace. Isn't that beautiful? God continues to be faithful. God continues to be faithful. And the third example I'd like to give is from secular history. I've taught church history. And at a point in time, the Catholic Church, because it came from the first century church, it was called the Roman Holy Roman Church or the Roman Catholic Church, Catholic meaning universal, they came to a point where they had this pride in them. And they said that we are the genuine people. We are the original guys. And only we have the authority to forgive sins. And many of us have come from that background. So you know what I'm talking about. So we were told as Catholics that if you leave the Catholic Church, you are doomed to hell. Right? You're doomed to hell. But the Bible clearly says in Romans 2:11, in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, and in Galatians 2:6, that God is not a respecter of people, or God shows no personal favoritism to anybody. So, what can we learn from these three examples? We can learn that God is faithful and God's plan will continue whether we believe in Him or not. Whether we choose to go positive to Him or not, God's plan will continue. Because God is faithful to His word and because God cannot lie. What do we see? We can see three things here. The first thing we need to understand, and this is fundamental, is that the Word of God is extremely important. The Word of God is the foundation. The Word of God defines who God is, what He has done for us, and what He expects from us. And so the Word of God is the foundation of our lives. Anything outside the Word is not of God. And so we read the Word, we study the Word, we hear the Word preached. The Word of God is the foundation. That's the first point. The second point is my attitude towards the Word of God. That's really important. And there needs to be a humility towards the Word of God. The Jewish people had tremendous spiritual pride. Tremendous. And in an application today, you and I can also have that pride. We can pride ourselves that we are the Greater Grace Church. We can pride ourselves that only we know the finished work and only we know positional truth and so on and so forth, and still live in unbelief. And God is not a respecter of people. God is not a respecter of people. Right? And God in Micah 6:8, He has shown you, O man, to love justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. God wants me to walk humbly. And the third point, so the first point is the Word of God, the second point is humility, and the third point is my choice. This is my choice. And I want to close with this verse in 2 Corinthians 13 today. It says here, verse 8, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We must be convinced in our lives that God doesn't need us to be happy. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need us for His plan in that way to happen. He doesn't need us because He can say and it can happen. But God loves us. Amen? And He chooses us, sinners saved by His grace. And the only thing we can do, and this is the most powerful thing, is we can make a choice to believe in Him. We can make a choice to go positive to His word. We can make a choice when God calls us to say, yes, Lord, I'm available. That's all. We don't have to do anything because faith pleases God. And when we make that choice, all of heaven is behind us to back our choice. Isn't that beautiful? All of heaven is behind us. When we make a choice in humility on the Word of God, when God says something in the Word and I believe, when God says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Philippians 4:19, and I believe that, and I'm in a situation of need, and I believe that. When God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I believe that. When God says, ask and you shall receive, and I believe that, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth, because faith pleases God. And in our third point, we live by faith. I just couldn't get over this because I was just thinking that I have a choice. If I don't believe, God will still remain faithful. God will use somebody in my place, or what God wants to do in my life may be delayed by a season because of my unbelief, right? But But God is a faithful God. And so let's encourage one another that God is a faithful God. Amen. He is a faithful God. He is true to his promises. What he has said in 2 Corinthians 1:20 and 21 is not yes and no, but it's yes and amen. Right? What is it? Yes and amen. Let's claim the Bible for our lives. Let's claim the promises of the Bible for our lives. You know, let's claim it. I can have a beautiful marriage because the Bible says so. I can have a beautiful family life because the Bible says so. We can have a happening church life because the Bible says so, right? God can help us repay all our debt because the Bible says so. God can take us to the uttermost parts of the world because the Bible says so. Amen? Do we believe? Yes, we believe. Amen.
We're going to have many portions expressed during the week. There are about 15 men in the church that are raised up to speak the word. And so they're going to have many portions expressed. And my prayer is to pray that God would raise up people to be heralds of the word of God. If you have a desire in your heart to believe, and you have a desire to study and to have a call in your life, you discern, you want to be trained, you can come at some point of time during the office hours, or can call me and we can pray together if God has put something very specific on your heart. I'm just believing that this year would be the year when God would raise up a group of people that would believe God to thrust them out in the call. Amen. And you can just sense the presence of God in this place. Every time we come with a sense of expectation. So Father, we thank you for portions expressed, but we thank you for potential that is in the body of Christ here today. And we are not familiar with it because there are a group of people that you have raised up. They are in the song of the servant king in Isaiah, you have them hidden in your quiver. And we pray that you would bring them out in faith and that you would manifest them to the world. So we pray for the potential that is in the body of Christ. We pray that men and women together with young people, teenagers, that you would bring them out in faith in the body, that we would not be cloistered within, but that we would be brought out in faith. There would be a manifestation to be brought out and open into the light, that every portion might be expressed, we pray. Go before us, Lord, each day of our lives. Help us to recognize that we need to redeem the time, for the days are evil. We thank you for what was spoken today and the portions expressed. Every time the word is spoken, there are remas from heaven that are waiting to be communicated to us. So we thank you. We praise you. Touch Balakrishna's daughter who was recovering from dengue today, we pray. For Thomas and Cassie in a very special way, we pray, Lord. We pray for those that need a touch. We pray for Melissa today, also in a special way. Heal her. And we pray that we would learn to live in the, as Pastor Stevens taught us today, in the quickening power of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for bringing us to this place. We pray for the nation of, we pray for the United States, for the people in Houston, Texas today. And even though we are here, we pray for them. We pray for Mumbai and Bihar and Orissa and these flood-affected areas. Lord, there are disasters all over the place. You said in Matthew 24, these are the beginning of birth pangs, and we see that consistently happening, we pray. We pray, Lord. Just pray for these people. Pray that wisdom would prevail in the end. We pray for unity amongst us in the body of Christ. Pray for Pastor Guru and Nalini and the kids in a special way today in Coimbatore, Father. May you command a special blessing upon their lives in the ministry that they will have, Father, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name.